Turn with me to the 19th chapter of the book of John. And may we read together the first 17 verses here. We'll give you a scripture setting. And then for the text, Luke chapter 9, verse 23. John, the 19th chapter, the first 17 verses. And then for the thought, really, to come from the 17th verse and the 23rd verse of the 9th chapter of Luke. And then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. And Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him." And then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." And when the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "But we have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. And Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 23. "And he said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." We thank you, our Father, tonight for the Spirit of God. And we recognize that without that Spirit, Lord, that we're a dismal failure. And so we beseech you, according to your loving mercy and tender kindness, for the next few moments to come into each of our lives in the power and the glory of the Spirit, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ might become a living reality in our lives. Thank God, and through this revelation, we'll become strong in the faith to meet, Lord, the challenges of the day that wait for us tomorrow. Thank God, may we have courage. May we have faith to stand in this crucial hour. And may the testimony of Jesus be anointed with even a greater anointing. It may go forth in power. For we realize, Lord, tonight that you have brought us together for a purpose. We've assembled here for the purpose of God, that the church of Jesus Christ may be encouraged and may go forth in the glory that Jesus meant for it to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From this scripture reading that I've brought to you tonight, I want to speak to you on this thought: living under the weight of the cross. Living under the weight of the cross. Sometimes it seems that the cross becomes heavier than we can bear. And this perhaps was the case in the life of Jesus in this one particular occasion. But there's an old song that you've used to sing, that the cross is not greater than His grace. And you know, for Christ to bear His cross, we have salvation from sin. And for the Christian to bear a cross, it gives Christ joy. But to us, it means a crown. By virtue of the cross, the lost estate of Adam was recovered. And by virtue of the cross, Satan tonight has been defeated. We're coming into the Easter time when our minds and the minds of the world in a sense begin to turn again in this direction. There's two great times in the history of the world that they cannot, regardless of how they fight, regardless of how they try to destroy, what they may say or do, there's two great times that the minds of the world are made conscious of the fact that there was a man sent from God, lived upon this earth, and that is at the time of Christmas and the time of Easter, at the power of the resurrection. You'll begin to hear more and more as we approach this time, which is about 3 or 4 weeks from us now. But I want you to notice tonight that we live best under the weight of the cross. When that weight begins to be lifted from off of us, we begin to stagger and falter in our Christian testimony. The great apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, "For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but the Christ liveth in me. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and died for me upon the cross. I am crucified," he said, "with Christ." And so our eyes, our tongues, our hands, our feet, and our heart should be crucified under the Lord Jesus Christ. We live best under the weight of the cross. The great apostle Paul had in his body the marks of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I bear record before you the marks of the cross of Jesus Christ within my body. I thought of this again today when I was working on these sermon notes, and I said, Lord, I really don't see too many marks on me. I haven't went through maybe the persecution that some of these apostles went through. And yet we find ourselves facing this issue that sometimes we say it's no use and the cross is too heavy, and we're all discouraged and ready to throw up our hands. But remember this, the children of Israel, under the weight of the cross, under the power of God by day and by night, the pillar of fire and the cloud, they lived as they moved, as God continued to give them direction. And the best they lived was while they was living under the weight of the cross, under the weight of the deliverance. And the best that you and I as Christians tonight live is when we are really carrying the cross of Jesus Christ. You know the text that I gave you in Luke's gospel in the 23rd verse. He said unto them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And each one of us have got a cross to carry. Now we may look at somebody and they said, well, that person is always happy and they're full of joy and always delighted and everything seems to be rosy. My, if I could just be like that, everything would be all right. But if we had their cross to carry, perhaps we wouldn't even be making it at all. You see, so we live best while the weight of the cross is upon us. Not only do we live best, but we journey best. We travel best under the weight of the cross. I must needs go home tonight by the way of the cross. For there is no other way than this. In the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke's gospel, in the 26th verse, "And as they led Jesus away, they laid hold upon one Simeon a Cyrene coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus." You and I, in these crucial hours in which we are living, we smart and we complain sometimes, but we journey best. We walk straighter before God under the weight of the cross than we do at any other time. When the cross becomes light, we become carefree and we don't watch our words. We don't watch our travel. We don't watch what we're doing like when we're really down under the weight and the burden of that cross. We live best under it. We journey best under it, my friend. And we go further than that. Thank God we labor best under the cross. In Galatians, the 6th chapter and the 14th verse, the Apostle Paul said, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." This was Paul's meat by day. It was his travail by night. The Apostle Paul knew that if he labored and if he lived and if he journeyed under the weight of the cross, that his labor would not be in vain. And Christian, that cross that God has given you and I to bear, we'd better quit complaining about it. We better begin to be able to go to God and understand that God has some way to lead us home. And the only way that He's going to lead us home is by the way of the cross. God doesn't take people to heaven on the flowery beds of ease, but God takes men and women that are willing to sacrifice, men and women that are able to bow down under that heavy load and yet come up and keep on journeying, praise God, toward that goal. Thank you, Jesus, that He has given unto us in these crucial hours. It may be dark now, but friend, it may get darker. But listen, God's people have always shined when they have had the cross and the vision of the cross before them. They've always won the victories as the cross of Jesus stood out and their eyes were fastened upon it. It's the enemy's business to get us to detour along the way. So let's labor under the weight of the cross that Jesus has given to us. Let's carry that cross for His glory. Let's carry it, praise God, praising Him. Hallelujah. And you know, sometimes, as I said a moment ago, we think the other person gets along a lot better than we get along. But if you stepped in their shoes, and if you carried maybe the burden or the weight of the cross that they're carrying, you would like to trade back again. For instance, my brother was in World War Number 2. They'd sent him to Camp Chaffee to train. And this is out from Fort Smith, Arkansas. He thought it was rough. He thought it was tough. That was the first boot camp that he got in. And it was rough, he said. It was tough. But they moved him from there into General Patton's tank battalion and sent him to Fort Hood to train. He was on a tank destroyer. And when he was there for 2 weeks, he came to the commanding officer. He said to commanding officer, he said, "I'll tell you what I'll do, sir. If you let me go back to Camp Chaffee at Fort Smith, Arkansas, some 400 miles from here," he said, "I'll take my full pack on my back and I'll crawl on my hands and knees all the way back to Camp Chaffee." You see, he'd been complaining all the time he was at Camp Chaffee until they moved him to Fort Hood. And this is like a lot of us Christians. We complain sometimes, well, the cross is too heavy and we just cannot bear it. We seem to stagger and we fall and we cry. But oh, friend, tonight we journey best. Thank God. We labor best. We live best under the shadow of the cross that Jesus has given for us to bear. And He's given it to you and me for a purpose. He's given it to us, my friend, to lead us home. And no man, no woman, no boy or girl is going to get home except by the way of the cross. Thank God they're going to have to carry it. And when Jesus stumbled and fell as He was on the way to Golgotha and they laid this cross upon this black man, He picked it up and carried it on to Calvary. And I thought today as I prayed and waited on God, working on this, I said, "Lord, help us as Christians to take new faith. Give us a new courage in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. Help us to pick up that cross, thank God, and to carry it." Hallelujah. You don't read where He staggered. You don't read where He fell by the wayside. But He carried that cross for Jesus right up to the spot to where they was going to crucify Him. I want to carry the one that He's given me, my friend, until I hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You can lay it down. Hallelujah. I'll give you a crown. You can trade this cross. Thank God for a crown. You know, man gives the best that he's got first, but Jesus gives the best at the last. And we don't have all of the wonderful things maybe that we desire or we want now. But remember this, we're not home yet, my friend. And so not only do we labor best under the weight of the cross, but hear me when I say to you, we pray our best under the weight of the cross. If you give me men and women that's carrying the cross of Jesus, I'll give you a church that knows how to pray and touch God. I don't pray as a minister, and you don't pray as a layman like we ought to pray until the burden comes to where when they say it's time to eat, there's no desire to eat. We don't pray like we ought to pray until that burden is so heavy, until instead of us smiling and being happy and jovial or joking, there's tears and there's a knot in our throat and there's something there that's got to be cared for until we move, and that is under the weight of the cross. Oh, we don't pray until we see men and women who are lost and destitute and without God and without hope. Until the burden of that settles down upon our heart, we really don't get under and pray. But my friends, we pray best in the shadow and the weight of that cross. In Luke chapter 22, verse 39 to 46, you'll find that Jesus prayed in the garden under the shadow of the cross. As he knelt in Gethsemane and said to his disciples, stay here while I go a stone's throw. Watch for me. Watch for me. He knew that an army was coming. Watch for me, will you, while I go yonder and pray. And as he knelt, my friends, perhaps in the pale moonlight in the old olive trees that night, he was under the weight. He knew the hour was at hand. The burden of the entire world, of the souls of men lost and doomed without the death of the Lamb, was upon him as he knelt in that garden of Gethsemane. He prayed while others slept, and he prayed for the will of his Father to be done, and he prayed until his sweat became as blood. We pray our best, and if we want revival, if we want God to move, if we want God to break the shackle and the yoke that seems to have us bound, and if we say we need power, friend, get under the weight of the cross. Thank God, for we live best there. We journey best there. We labor best there. We pray best under the weight of the cross. And without the weight of that cross, we become careless in our prayer life. And without the weight of that cross, we become careless in the reading of the Word of God. And without the weight of that cross, our testimony loses some of its power. But oh, when we have tasted, my friend, of that weight, when we have tasted of that burden, and when we can feel it upon our heart, we bow down. You don't have to say, will you praise God? You don't have to say, will you come and pray? That man or that woman that's living under the weight of the cross, he'll make him an altar. And when he makes that altar, he'll touch God. He don't need somebody to stand and say, pray on, brother. Pray on. Why? Because he feels the weight of this cross. Jesus came back to his disciples and said, sleep on, the hour's come. The time has already arrived. Why? My friend, he had prayed that the will of the Father be done. Oh, may we let this grip our heart tonight. Thank God. You say there seems to be such turmoil. There seems to be such difficulty. True, my friend. But it's not for you and me. The thing we need to do is pick up the cross that Jesus has given unto us and begin to carry it. Hallelujah to God. And when we do, these other things in our life are going to work out of the glory of God. Not only, my friend, do we pray the best under the weight of the cross, but let me tell you, we preach the best under the weight of the cross. There is no compassion. If there's no real move of the love of God in the soul, There's not too much weight of the cross. A lot of people have said to me, "Why, preacher, you're crazy. Why don't you quit?" But you don't know what I know. You didn't maybe say what I said when Jesus saved me. I know I joke about it a lot of times. But when I retire, when you pass by and take a look at me and say, "Well, he's gone." I know that we have to do a little bit less, but let me tell you something. We preach our best under the weight of the cross until we can feel something that Jesus felt, until we know, until we get down under it and begin to try to lift it and begin to carry it. We don't preach. And we don't touch the heart. Your heart I'm talking about. Or the sinner's heart. Or the backslider's heart. If it's just a mechanical thing. If it's just something that I've learned at school. If it's just something that I sit and study out myself. It's not worth much more than a scrap of paper that he comes on. But when a man preaches under the weight of the cross. Thank God he's been there on his knees, brother, with the moonlight breaking through the olive trees. Glory to God, he's living under the weight of the cross. He feels the pull in his soul. Hallelujah. It's more than getting his paycheck, my friend. Oh, thank God. Listen, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and verse 23, "We preach Christ crucified unto the Jews." He said, "This is a stumbling block." And he said, "Unto the Greeks, it's foolishness. For the Jews," he said, "require sign. And the Greeks," he said, "they seek after wisdom. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation." Glory to God. Oh, my friend, it's the wisdom of God. And may we never lose sight of the vision of the power of that cross. And may we as ministers of God bow ourselves before him like we have not bowed ourselves before him in the past. And say, "By the grace of God, let me preach under the weight on the cross." Paul knew what this weight of the cross was. Forgetting those things which are behind. And I tell you, my friend, there's so much in this world of self-pleasure today. And we're trying to take so good a care of our flesh. And we're trying to please it so much today. Till I'm afraid we're losing the vision of what Jesus has called us to do. Is to seek and to save that man or woman that is lost. It's the mission of the church to go forth in the power of the Spirit. And bring a message of revitalizing life. Hallelujah. It's the mission of the church to reconcile men unto God. And we can only do this as we live under the weight of the cross. Praise God. And not only do we preach best, but we give best under the weight of the cross. Mark's Gospel, the 14th chapter in the 8th verse, Jesus said, "Let her alone. She's done what she could. She has come aforetime to anoint my body to the burying." She gave her best because she was looking at Calvary. And you and I in our missionary program and all of our giving will give our best when we're looking at Calvary. Praise God. Oh, her best was costly. Verse number 5 said this was a great loss. 300 pence could have been obtained for this. But my friend, she gave her best while she was under the weight of the cross. Because she could see Calvary looming out in front. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has anointed me." Hallelujah. Before time. Oh, she came in time. I'm wondering, my friend, if you and I are in the place where the Spirit of God can speak to us. And we can give our money to our missions. And the church is missions, my friend. If it isn't missions, it isn't a church. Amen. And we only give our best under the weight of the cross. Leave her alone. She's done what she can. Oh, thank God her best was costly. Her best was criticized. Your best is going to be criticized. They don't understand men and women living under the weight of the cross. They don't understand men and women journeying under the weight of the cross. They don't understand men and women that pray under the weight of the cross. They don't understand men and women that preach under the weight of the cross. They don't understand people that give under the weight of the cross. They can't figure it out. My friend, listen, they criticize. He said, oh, this could have been sold. It could have been given to the poor. Think what could have been done with this money. But oh, listen, her best came in time. She came before he died. And not after his death. And the fragrance of what she did filled the room. And my heart was touched today. And I said, Lord, let the church come before it's too late. Let the church come before the death peal is sounded. Let the church bring what it has for your glory before it's too late. Do you realize that if the rapture taking place tonight and Jesus caught the church home, that all of the missionaries will leave the mission fields, and all of the Christians in the mission fields will be gathered together. All of the preachers and all of the Christians that are ready will be gone, and they could take and sell what we give if they want it and give it unto the poor. But oh, what will it do before time if it wins one soul for the glory of God? We give best under the weight of the cross. What have we got to give? You say, Pastor, I don't have very much money. But my friend, we've got a life that we can give under the weight of the cross. I don't know what you told God when you got saved. I don't know what somebody else told God. I only know what I told him myself. And the consecration and the moment that I made it to God, it's still real and fresh in my mind tonight. And I can see that bloody spectacle as he hanged suspended between heaven and earth. And I can see the blood as it trickled down that old rough tree that is hewn out upon which he hanged. And in the sunset of the evening time, as the glistening rays of the sun began to beam against that red blood on a background of rough hewn wood, it began to turn to gold. Oh, friend, take courage tonight and let new faith grip your heart. We're not home yet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And what we've got, let's give it into the hands of God and let him use it. And take up our cross and begin to march toward Zion singing, thank God. Listen, we're not defeated. We're not broke, my friend. We're not beat down. Hallelujah. But God has a victory for us. Something greater and richer and fuller as we go along the way. Only get the vision. Hallelujah. Only let the vision entrench its soul, itself upon your soul. And we'll journey. We'll live. We'll give. We'll pray. Amen. Best under the weight of that cross, for the way of the cross leads home. We thank you tonight, Father, for your blessing to us. We thank you because at this moment the Holy Spirit is pointing the way of the cross. May we turn our eyes upon Jesus. Oh, may we see you tonight, Jesus, as what you really are in our lives. And thank God, may you give us direction to lead us home, for the way of the cross leads home. We must needs go by the way of the cross, for the Bible says if any other man climbs up any other way, he is the same as a thief and a robber. Help us, Lord, tonight in this prayer meeting. Oh, God, catch a glimpse of it, a vision of it, Lord. We'll come out of this service enriched, glory to God, by the power of the Holy Spirit tonight, moving our soul. Oh, for it was at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. Oh, thank God tonight. Lord, I feel keenly the need of just having a new vision of the cross, and let the burden of our hearts roll away. Thank God. Renew it, Lord, for your glory tonight. Heads are bowed and nobody's looking around. Amen. And we're ready to sing, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and follow me. Praise God. As we sing for just a moment with heads bowed, nobody looking around at all, for just a moment, I want God to do something tonight. Praise God. I want him to bring us back to the foot of the cross. I want him to bring us back to the foot of the cross. I need you, Jesus. Do you tonight? Do you tonight? Do you feel like that things have crowded in upon you just a little? Do you feel like that the zeal and the fire that one time burned so bright upon the heart has waned just a little? Get up and come with us. Praise God, to the foot of the cross. Do you need him tonight? Will you let that glow come back? Praise God. It may have grown just a little dim, but I guarantee you one thing. If you'll kneel at the foot of the cross tonight for just a little while, look right up into his eyes and see him as he is, it'll return. Now will you stand with us? Let's gather in the altar tonight as we sing. If you need Jesus, if you want Jesus, let me bring you back to the foot of the cross tonight. Let me bring you to that moment of your dedication when you said yes to Jesus and you were saved. Let me bring you tonight in the Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Three flags. God, bring us to the cross tonight. Bring us to the cross tonight. Let us see. Thank you, Jesus. May that touch of Jesus, may that vision of heaven. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God, yes, Jesus. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. Oh, you'll do it tonight, Jesus. That heavy load, thank God, that dark hour in our life, Jesus. Oh, it was there, hallelujah. It was there, praise God, that we met you. Was there.